कामादिबीरनाविधम् प्रशान्ताखिलावृत्तियत् चित्तं ब्रह्मासुखाश्रिष्टम् नैवोतिष्ठा कर्हि चेत्। कामा अधिभि बाय वेरियस लस्टी डिजायर्स अनाविद्धम अनअफेक्टेड प्रसन्नता काम एंड पीसफुल अखिलावृत्ति इन एवरी रिस्पेक्ट और इन ऑल एक्टिविटीज यत दैट विच चित्तम कॉन्शियसनेस ब्रह्मा सुख श्रेष्ठम बीइंग सिचुएटेड ऑन द ट्रांसेंडेंटल प्लेटफॉर्म इन इटर्नल ब्लिस ना नॉट एवा इंडीड उत्तिष्ठिता कैन कम आउट करहिचित at any time. Translations and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. When one's consciousness is uncontaminated by material lusty desires, it becomes calm and peaceful in all activities. For one is situated in eternal blissful life. Once situated on that platform, one does not return to materialistic activities. Purport. Brahma Sukha Sprishtam is also described in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text number 54. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Sochati Na Kanshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labate Param. One who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward every living entity. In this situation, he begins transcendental activities or devotional service to the Lord. Generally, once elevated to the transcendental platform of Brahma Sukha, transcendental bliss, one never comes down. But if one does not engage in devotional service, there is a chance of his returning to the material platform. Ruhiya krichirena param padam tatha patanti adho nadrita yusmad angreha. Srimad Bhagavatam from Canto 10, text chapter number 2, text number 32. One may rise to the platform of Brahma Sukha, transcendental bliss, but even from that platform, one may fall down to the material platform if he does not engage himself in devotional service. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpataru Bhasha Kripa Sindhu Bhaya Ivacha Patita Nam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो व्हेन वन्स कॉन्शियसनेस इज अनकंटेमिनेटेड बाय मटेरियल लस्टी डिजायर्स इट बिकम्स काम एंड पीसफुल इन ऑल एक्टिविटीज फॉर वन इज सिचुएटेड इन इटर्नल ब्लिसफुल लाइफ वन्स सिचुएटेड ऑन दैट प्लेटफॉर्म One does not return to materialistic activities. So in this material world, we find that everybody's mind is agitated. That is the state of our mind. And why is the mind agitated? If we try to think about it, there are three main reasons for it. As a matter of fact, there is only one main reason, and that is the material lusty desires. But when we further want to get deeper into it, we find that there are three reasons why we are never at peace. So the first one is hankering. So we are always wanting to have what we don't have. So we are hankering for it. Then lamenting or lamentations. What we had, we have lost it. And that's why we are lamenting. And the third one is fear. And the fear is because what we have, we will lose it or we may lose it. So because of these three states of mind, one is always agitated, one is never at peace. What does this indicate, basically? What when we are talking about these lamentations, hankering, fear, what does it indicate for us? So basically, it shows our attachment towards material possessions. We are so attached to whatever we have that we just want to hold it. We just want to let it go. And we are fearful that if we, you know, loosen it, it will go. So we are just holding it very close to ourselves. And as a matter of, as a result of that, we are always in that, living in that fearful state of mind. So on the other hand, a mind or a person whose consciousness is not contaminated by material lusty desires, he is at peace. So how can we reach that state? That is the recipe which Sri Narad Rishi is providing to Maharaj Yudhishthir. As a matter of fact, the title of this particular chapter is very interesting. It says instructions for civilized human beings. So these instructions are not only for Yudhishthir Maharaj. They are for most of us or all of us. I guess we consider ourselves civilized, so these instructions are equally applicable to us as they were applicable to Yudhishthir Maharaj and other elevated personalities. So Narad Rishi is giving the recipe of how to be peaceful, how to be happy, and in once in that state of mind, then one can remember the Lord. So if one can get rid of the material desires, if we can get rid of the lusty desires, then we have some hope that we will be at peace, we will be happy. Now normally in material world, people engage in different kind of glorious activities. They would like to, you know, construct hospitals, schools, temples, and so on. But the motive behind engaging themselves in these activities is their own glorification. So they will be recognized in the society, they will be recognized in their city. When they are walking on the street, then everybody will say, oh, this is the person who constructed this particular hospital, and so on. So the desire is very, very selfish. Then our scriptures say that any activity, however glorious it may be, if it is done for personal satisfaction or personal glorification and not for Krishna's pleasure, is useless. It is not really helping one in any way. On the other hand, other activities which may be very, very insignificant, very, very small, but they are being done for Krishna's pleasure, that is considered bhakti. And that is going to help us to get rid of the contamination which we have in our heart. That is going to help us to cleanse our heart of all the ignorance and the dust which has accumulated over it for lifetime after lifetime. So I see this as a very nice example. We can see that various services which are being performed in the temple itself. And practically everybody who is here is involved in some service or the other. The nature of service may be different, but there is one goal, and that is how to keep Kishore Kishori's house in order, how to keep them happy. So we may be doing different type of services, But because our aim, our goal is to keep Kishore Kishori happy, all these are very, very significant services. No service is small. Even if somebody is doing a very, very, bringing bhoga from, outside to kitchen, that service is as important as the person who is actually making bhoga for their lordship. And similarly, there are several examples. We are doing cleaning, we are doing deity worship, we are doing washing of pots and so on, cleaning the pots. All the activities are equally important. And the result of engaging ourselves in those activities are similar. They are eventually going to help us to get rid of our lusty desires. And if we systematically do that under proper guidance, then it is eventually going to help us to somehow keep a control on our mind, on our desires. So by engaging ourselves in services for Krishna's pleasure is going to help us to get rid of contaminations in our consciousness. And once we have such a state, then it is easy to remember Krishna and chant his holy name in a pure state of mind. So how does this process help? We are talking about service and we are talking about controlling the mind and controlling the desires. So most of us, or practically all of us, Srila Prabhupada says, are born in ignorance. But when we come in contact with devotees and we start practicing, start leading our lives in the way prescribed here, so slowly from ignorance we move up to mode of passion, and further as we grow we will come in mode of goodness. And as I said, that once we are in mode of goodness, then it is easy to control the desires and it is easy to engage in the service of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada says here in the purport that even though after reaching this higher transcendental platform of Brahma Sukha, normally one does not come down. But if we are not engaging ourselves in the service of their lordship, then there is a chance that we may fall. So it is like, I was just thinking of an analogy, like a sports person. A sports person has reached his peak. He is really performing very well, and wherever he participates in competitions, he gets the best award. But he has to keep himself in shape. He has to keep practicing the particular field in which he is excelling. If he gives up, if he feels that, oh, I have reached the top, for example, in tennis, we have several tennis players. And now, if they give up, they say, okay, I will just go and play in a competition, in a tournament, but other than that, I'm just going to relax. The chances are that as soon as they go for the next competition, they are going to be out in the very first round. So same is, a similar situation is there in for us. If we are not growing into our Krishna consciousness, if we are not keeping ourselves engaged in devotional service, then the chances are that we will be engaged somewhere else. And that somewhere else, the pulling power is very, very strong. We all know that in around us, in this world, there are so many distractions. And it is very, very easy to get distracted. The only thing which can keep us safe and sound is Krishna, and we have to keep ourselves engaged in his services. So that is one of the very important messages from this particular text. The other point which Srila Prabhupada made was that when a person reaches this platform, he never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed towards every living entity. So when we read scriptures and when we talk about devotees and Vaishnavas, we normally talk about what are the symptoms of a pure devotee or what are the symptoms of a elevated Vaishnava. And we, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita several times while instructing Arjun that a devotee will always be equipoised. What does that mean? That whether something happens according to his liking or disliking, it doesn't really matter to him. He is in every state, he is thinking of Krishna and he thanks Krishna for whatever is happening in his or her life. So there was an example I heard recently that Shukdev Goswami, he had to visit Janak Maharaj, King Janak. And when he reached his kingdom, King Janak wanted to use that opportunity to show to his ministers and other people in his kingdom how a true devotee or a truly realized person behaves. So Shukdev Goswami was waiting at the entrance of the kingdom, at the, you know, at the gates of the kingdom, and Janak Maharaj did not make any arrangement for anybody to receive him, and he kept waiting. Now imagine that a very important person comes to visit you, and you don't really go to welcome him. So the chances are that person will be very, very upset that, oh, you know, I'm so and so, I am the minister, or I'm such a great devotee and so on, and nobody is here to receive me. He'll be very upset. But that was not the case with Shukdev Goswami. And then after giving some time to see how Shukdev Goswami reacts, King Janak made arrangement to welcome him with all the royal paraphernalia. You know, like we say in today's language, the red carpet welcome. And even when that was being done, he did not show any happiness as such. So initially, when he was not being welcomed, he was totally being neglected or ignored. And later, when he was offered the royal welcome, his behavior was the same. So that is the true indication of a true devotee or a pure devotee. And that is another thing which will automatically show in the behavior of a person who has reached this state or this platform. Then the other point which I noted was that in mind of such a person who is at that platform, there is no desire for his to get looking for respect or honor as such. He is totally above all that. And that reminds me of Shikshashtakam, verse number 3, where Lord Chaitanya says that one should respect others, but should not expect respect in return. And I personally feel that if we in our lives try to practice the teachings of that verse, most of our problems will be over. Because why do we come, why we have problems with other people? Because we have We expect something from them. We expect them to respect us. We expect them to, you know, treat us in a nice way. And so our false ego, our pride comes in the way, and we do not want to accept a situation where we are not getting our due respect. That is a very, very common thing I hear when you are talking to people, that, oh, he was very disrespectful, or, you know, I went to visit them and they did not even recognize me. So there was a particular incident a devotee was mentioning. That is, a senior Vaishnava was visiting an ISKCON temple. And somehow, he was there since morning, and he spent a good amount of time, but nobody even went to him and said Hare Krishna. So he was quite upset that nobody recognized him. So the speaker later on pointed out that because that particular devotee was looking for some recognition, that was something which was coming in his way to move up. So if we give up those false expectations, then we will be able to chant properly, we'll be able to get rid of the contaminations in our heart, and we'll be able to make progress in our devotional life. So I'll stop here and invite questions, comments, additions.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. You were at the first part, you were talking about, you know, following the principles, you know, but I remember Srila Prabhupada saying he was surprised that the devotees could follow the four regular principles, because the atmosphere, you used to say, is surcharged with nescience, you know. Did you ever hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I was, remember, you know, like you're talking about respect. Well, it's not that we should disrespect people, but you could kind of remain a little neutral, right?
Yeah.
But is that would you say disrespectful would be, you know, or not expecting respect from others? There's an expression, with all due respect. So it's a little confusing. And I remember the mayor of Chicago, not Mayor Daley, the last one, but his father, whenever he would go into his like inner sanctum, he had his like cabinet, and he would become depressed if people would not even just say hello to him. So would that be disrespectful? Or, I mean, you know, you're not so, disrespecting a person, you're just not going, you know, putting a flower garland on them, or, you know, I mean, yeah. You know what I'm saying? I just get a little confused on that, you know.
See, I was just referring to Shikshastakam, where Lord Chaitanya says that a Vaishnava will respect all the living entities. So when it comes to offering respect, we have to respect each and every living entity. So what to talk of Vaishnavas? Vaishnavas have to be really offered respect properly. But we do not expect respect in return. That is the message. What normally happens is that when we are respecting, when I come and greet you and respect, you know, offer you everything, I expect that you will do the same. And if for any reason you don't do that, then I'm very disappointed. And that leads to my downfall. So from my side, my duty is, my responsibility is, I am being taught that I should respect each and every living entity equally. So that is the difference. Offer respect to others, but don't expect respect in return.
But, you know, like you just, disrespect would be something negative. But then the karmis have this thing, cold shoulder, You know, you just don't acknowledge the person. You're indifferent to their presence. So it's a little foggy. You don't disrespect a person, but some people may take it as disrespectful if you don't, you know, at least acknowledge their presence, right? So, like you were saying, you're trying to, it's getting...
So let's say we have a group of devotees sitting here,
yeah.
And I walk in the temple, and you are, a group of devotees are sitting, and they don't really say anything to me. They just look at me, and then they continue with whatever services they are doing or continue with whatever discussion they are having. Now, if I am properly following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, if I am following the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it will not make any difference to me that they did not greet me or they did not say anything to me. But in reality, it is very difficult to practice it. So I will feel, these people saw me and none of them even said Hari Bol, and, I will be upset with that kind of a behavior. So that is what we have to control.
I was thinking Srila Prabhupada was in Paris. I was reading this, and there was the mayor and some of his cabinet members, and they were already there in the meeting. Prabhupada was there with his disciples, and then the mayor comes in, and everybody stands up, except for Srila Prabhupada. Do you remember that story? And then... they were saying, wow, Prabhupada didn't stand up. And then they asked Prabhupada, and then he said, stand up to what? So I don't know, you'd have to read the whole story, I guess, to get the understanding. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, a few days ago, we were talking about humility. And something which I recently read, that humility is doing the right things, doing what is right. So Srila Prabhu, now somebody may, a person who is not truly in knowledge may think that Prabhupada is so arrogant, he did not get up. But he did the right thing. And doing the right thing is humility. So this is where the knowledge of a person makes all the difference. When I was preparing for this class, I found or I read that normally from humility we get qualifications, and then from qualifications comes we are able to earn wealth. And if that wealth is used properly in Krishna's service, we can make progress in our life. But normally in the material world, we are gaining knowledge, we are gaining qualifications for material accumulations. So if we understand the true meaning of humility, then we will not be upset by this kind of a behavior.
There's a saying in the Bible, the meek shall inherit the earth. And like the Pandavas, they took, they weren't ready to fight or anything. They were but Krishna, pushed them into...
The Lord will protect them.
Yeah. So that's another example. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu. Rakta Prabhu wants to share something.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
There are some people, they pursue like philanthropic activities, like to build like hospitals. And, they may get praise... But some people may have the motive, those who perform those, philanthropic activities, they may have the motive to really truly help people, even though, like, externally they may receive, praise. So how do you define that when they...
So if I'm engaging in certain activities to get appreciation and praise, then it is my selfish motivation.
So are you saying that all people that, pursue philanthropic activities to do good things, that there's there's always going to be some kind of a selfish motive.
So if I'm doing the activities which have been prescribed, either in the scriptures or has been prescribed to me, my temple authorities have instructed me to do certain activities, let us say, I should carry them out wholeheartedly without expecting any appreciation in return. That doesn't mean, I should not expect any appreciation in return. But it doesn't mean that a person who observes it and compliments me, that is not wrong. As a matter of fact, if I observe somebody doing a service selflessly, as a true Vaishnava, I should be grateful to that person. But normally what happens when we are doing certain service, we already start that, oh, I have to get, somebody should appreciate me for this. And that attitude is wrong. That attitude is what is, you know, we have to control, that we don't get into that somehow.
Because like Radhanath Swami is in India, he, you know, he established hospitals and schools, I believe, and, you know, and I know his motives are, you know, pure.
Exactly. The motive with which it is being done, that is the important factor. Because in Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami says very clearly that an activity which is done clearly with the intention of pleasing Krishna, that only is bhakti. Same activity done for with some other motivation is not bhakti. So, I hope you got the point, that we have to keep Krishna in mind when we are engaged in whatever kind of activities we are doing as aspiring devotees or as Vaishnavas. Our aim is to please Krishna. And Krishna can be pleased in several ways. Sometimes, you know, we read this very often that I'm not engaged in a direct service of their lordship. So how can I please them? But by pleasing other devotees, by pleasing your spiritual master, we are pleasing Krishna. And that is easy as a matter of fact. Because Krishna gets very easily, you know, pleased if we are rendering service to one of his devotees.
When you please a, you know, a more advanced devotee, you can feel the reciprocation, you know.
Yeah, that's true, yes.
You know, you get a quick reciprocation. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Prabhu, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Suhal Prabhu. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.